Welcome back. Hour number three tonight. And we're very happy to have Nurse Ann back with us, that troublemaker who goes into these hospitals and tries to help people. Oh, I shouldn't say that. A lot of nurses do, but they don't have her ethics, her principle, her drive. She's extraordinary. She's a very rare individual in this field. Could have easily been a doctor of her choice, whatever field she wanted to go into. And in point of fact, has even mentioned how she feels like she ends up training doctors. And I believe it. Hello, Nurse Ann.
Hello, Jeff and Erica. How are you?
Good, good. How have you been?
Good, Guy. I had to work all of Thanksgiving, so it's been a journey for me. I work the eve and the day off Thanksgiving. So, but you know, some people, you know, have to do it on the holidays, and I was the lucky one this year. So, you know, that's the way it goes.
Well, good going. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a pro. You're one of the greats. And I'm sure that's understood. You're very welcome. Okay, let's go back to where we were kind of last time and look at new crazy things going on. What changes are you seeing? And we sort of feel like the number of dead, tragically, is increasing. I think this next year is going to be an unmistakable cascade of deaths, all different kinds of deaths. You know, they have their plausible deniability and they'll slap whatever label they want on someone's death, but we know what's going on. So what's the view from inside? What's going on there?
For since the last time I was on the show, a lot of the things I'm seeing are interesting in that it's injuries are more related to people falling at home for some reason, unbeknownst as to why they fell or passed out or
falls.
Whatever.
And, falls.
Yeah, falls.
Question, teacher. Do they say, I got dizzy and fell? Do they say, I found myself on the floor and I have no idea how I got there? Do they say, I was aware of falling? What do they say?
Some of them will say, yes, I was dizzy and I fell. And some of them, we had one recently where the neighbor hadn't seen them for a while and called EMS, and they had already been passed out for an undetermined amount of time. And so it seems like whatever is affecting them at home, either if they have family around, they're reacting. The people who don't have family around are very unlucky because they may be there may be days that might pass before someone finds them.
Yes.
Hours.
Yeah.
And but the people, if we can bring them back, if EMS services gets in on time and we can bring them back, they can never remember the event that brought them down at home in the first place.
Are the majority of them shot up?
Oh, they're all shot up. Yeah, they're all shot up. All this week, there's nobody that I didn't see on their charts that they all had received a vaccination. And some of them multiple times.
The bioweapon.
Multiple vaccinations, yep.
Multiple bioweapons.
Exactly.
All right. When they fall and they say they have no recollection about it, how common is that?
Extremely common. More common than we'd like to think.
They just check out.
They'll fall due to dizziness, weakness, or just something hits them and they're passed out on the floor. And if they're completely passed out, it's very, very scary because a couple of things. There's a couple of things. They have cardiac arrested, and there's a time frame for when people can get in there to save them. and or they've thrown a clot and they're either it's gone to their brain or they're stroking out, or the big one, the most recent ones we've been seeing, a lot of aneurysms.
Really? Now that's okay. Are
in,
these
in
cerebral?
The brain or in the chest?
Cerebral? Yeah.
So the aneurysms are actually in the brain and in the chest area and in the abdominal area.
Oh my.
Okay, so I don't want to jump to any conclusions here, but an aneurysm, for our listeners who don't know, is a ballooned or a stretched out vein or artery, and it can sometimes burst and you're in deep trouble. So are these aneurysms possibly being caused by amyloid clots? Do we know? Because amyloid clots don't show up apparently on MRIs easily. They're very difficult to see. They're proteins. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts?
We wouldn't. Well, you know, they say the typical medical terminology for an aneurysm would have been the bulging of a blood vessel, which is caused by a weakening in the blood vessel wall, and then it usually ends up rupturing. It bursts, okay, and it ruptures. That's usually what happens with the aneurysms. Now, why does that happen? Nobody's saying. But we're seeing a lot of it.
S protein, spike protein, ACE2 receptor on the endothelial layer, that they get just overloaded with spike and they keep making fibrils and they build out an enormous clot, an amyloid clot that pushes 360 degrees outward from the circumference of the vein or the artery. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, some of the aneurysms that came in this week, some of the cases, they had aneurysms ranging from 5 centimeters to 8 centimeters. And luckily for them, they hadn't ruptured. But it did warrant surgery.
That's a big bulge. And they have to go in there and suture
bulge.
It up and tighten it up.
Yeah.
But my question is, when they go in there and they have to slice and they have to tighten, they have to do excise some tissue, what are they seeing inside the blood vessel or the artery? Are they seeing a clot? Do you know?
Oh, I see. In the reports, they're saying that they'll document clot formation in there. There'll be some free-flowing blood, but there'll be a lot of clot formation. And that's basically it in a nutshell. That's about as much as you'll get on the report, other than the size of the aneurysm that they removed, the time that it took to repair, and the damage that it's done to maybe possibly other vessels.
See, Erica, I believe these are amyloid-caused. They're pushing out.
But let's not forget the whole, I mean, if we look at the findings of Arne Burkhardt in his autopsies, the vessel walls are packed full of spike protein. So you can imagine the vessels are all inflamed.
For sure.
When that goes to heal, if it is healing, it'll be replaced by, you know, plaque, calcium. So there'll probably be areas that are inflexible and other areas will end up bulging. There's blood vessel disease that would support the development of these weak spots. And the blood is also diseased. There's probably a lot of pressure on these vessels trying to push this sludge through them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's compromising other systems.
Right.
But the thing is, Jeff, I don't think even if they knew they had the equipment to test for spike protein, they're not testing for spike protein. I will tell you that for a fact. I'm looking at all these patients' lab works before they go to surgery and thereafter, and we're monitoring them very closely. We're not going to see anything like that on their report.
That's intentional. I will bet anything they're intentionally not looking. I mean, if Arnie Burkhardt can find it in autopsy, they can certainly find it during a medical procedure to suture up a bulge in an artery or a vein.
Well, let's not forget that that 75-year-old patient in Japan that had the shingles, the herpes zoster, and then they did a biopsy on one of the lesions, and they found spike protein in the lesion, and that's probably why it wasn't healing.
So what Eric is saying, this is important, a herpes lesion, which is like a little erupted volcano, so to speak, or a blister, had spike protein found in it. They have spike protein tests. It's not hard, but they're not doing it.
And the thing about the time frame of the aneurysm on this one case that I had, it was they had seen the aneurysm back in September 2020, and they were like, okay, we'll monitor. That's not unusual for them to say that if the aneurysm is a smaller size. But that was September 2020. So then fast forward to the patient is now getting the vaccinations, and they were given Pfizer on September of 2021, Moderna in March of 2021, another Moderna in March of 2021.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Then a Pfizer booster on 4/18 of 2022, and then on September 30th of 2022, we gave another booster, and then on a follow up with the doctor, the patient wasn't feeling quite right, and they decided to do imaging, and on the imaging, they found that the aneurysm had grown significantly from the last time. So it basically warranted surgery.
Got it. Okay, very good. This is all remarkable and important, because you're not going to see it on your so-called nightly news, nightly brain programming that you're getting, staring at that flat screen, being lied to nonstop. And remember, the biggest lie of all is the lie of omission. It's what they don't tell you. So you really are turn the damn thing off. Don't stare at it. You're CNN, MSNBC, I don't even, Fox, I don't care. You're not being informed. Go to rents.com and just read the headlines, and you'll come away with a better general informational overview than you will by looking at any of that crap. I'm being humble. I'm not being arrogant. I'm just telling you, it's so much garbage on that so-called news format. It does nothing but damage people. They will go out and put a Ukraine flag in their yard and think they're doing the right thing. That's how dumb it is.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Well, and the other interesting case, because this was the first time I had seen this type of case, but it was interesting because now I'm starting to see more of it. And this one was an interesting case in that. So this guy came in and he had end-stage renal disease. So he had a fistula which allows him to do dialysis. So that he had an existing history of renal failure. So they admitted him because of the AV fistula wasn't working. Well, of course, the AV fistula was clotting. That's not the new news that I've got to tell you. But so in his history, aside from all of that, he had had an aortic valve done on 10/17 of 21. And then he was at home and he was getting the dialysis for a while. And then they had to go and repair that aortic valve this past October, a year later. And then 10 days later, they ended up having, he ended up coming back into the hospital. And he was complaining of pain in his left shoulder, and significant inflammation. And then it went to his his left knee, and it started swelling up, and he started getting these effusions of fluid in his knee area, where they had to aspirate the fluid. And so they aspirated the fluid, and they studied it, and some of the study was that there was blood in there, but there was also crystals in the fluid. Mm-hmm. That's what came back with the fluid. Mm-hmm. And then while all this is going on and we're waiting, now he's got pain in his right ankle. It's on the other side of his body. And now he's having redness and inflammation and swelling now in the right side. And so now they're thinking, what's bringing all this massive amount of inflammation on this person with his, in his major joints? So they did a TEE to rule out endocarditis, and that came back okay. And then so they weren't sure how to proceed, so they decided to call in infectious disease. So infectious disease came in, and they were looking at how we'd been treating the patient up to this point. And they said, okay, he's been on this particular antibiotic, it was ANSA, apparently. And they were saying, stop that and put him on vancomycin, another these are the hard guns. When you start bringing out vancomycin, we're talking serious hard guns here. So vancomycin, so he's on it for a number of, like, nearly 2 weeks. And then the infectious disease doctor felt, let's try to go back on the ANSAF and see how we do with that. And then, Erica, this is where you might come in, because I don't know enough about this, but in his notes, he writes, he cannot explain why he's having this massive amount of swelling in his major joints. And he says, I'm less suspicious of antibiotic failure, referring to the ANSAF, and question if it's a reactive arthritis, or as this is the serum sickness-like reaction. And so right now, this case is up in the air because we don't know how or why this is happening to this man.
Right.
So this was an interesting case because this was the first so-called case we've seen of, like, that's been presented like this.
And you said there were crystals in the aspirin?
Crystals, yes.
Is it uric acid?
No, there was no, that they actually checked for that too, and it wasn't that.
Okay. That's interesting. Have to ponder that.
Yeah. Let me see. Thanks, Jim, for sending this in. What we were talking about last hour a little bit, Maria, that there are people who say that every single person who has gotten a shot, a viable shot, has had heart damage to one degree or another. This is from Dr. Mercola. Shocking new study reveals that some level of heart injury, minor as it may be, is occurring in all jab recipients. The long-term effects are unknown, but there will be effects. The more mRNA shots you take, the greater the cumulative risk that an actual health event will take place. There are also effects on other internal organs as well as the immune system. Because authorities and mRNA manufacturers refuse to stop the mRNA shots, they can only be viewed as biological warfare against humanity. Well, I don't know how long we have been saying that here, but it's a long time.
I would concur. Yeah, it's 100%. That is completely correct statement. There's no way to sugarcoat that. There's huge complications for any kind of cardiac injury, you name it, it's there. Right. And so that is a very, very true statement. And
I mean, even if it's subclinical myocarditis, that doesn't mean you don't have it. And it doesn't mean that it's not getting worse incrementally, slowly, perhaps. You're in trouble because you got shot. You got the mRNA, which is producing spike, which is going to cause more myocarditis. This thing has so many ways of ending life. It's not funny.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, the cases, definitely, the people are sicker. They're younger. I mean, it's insane how many young people are in the hospitals. They've opened up units to where they're trying to staff with the minimum amount of nurses to, if you can believe this, for medical observation units. You'll see them all over the place now in all these hospitals because they can't actually keep them in the emergency room because the emergency rooms are actually getting so hammered with the amount of people coming into the emergency room that there's no holding area. So what the hospitals have to do is they have to divert them to other local area hospitals. Well, what happens when the other local area hospitals encounter the same problem? And now that is very much what's happening here now. Well,
In 2, 3, 4, 5 months, you won't be able to get into a hospital. You won't.
You probably won't get treatment right away.
You'll sit there for 12 hours.
They're created a holding area in the ER, and they've made it like a mini ICU, so the patients are vented, and there are nurses down there. I kid you not. There's nurses in the emergency room that have these holding areas where they're basically managing them patients that are waiting to get up to the ICU unit. If they're going to the medical step-down units or the surgical ICU units, these patients are either held in those areas or otherwise, if they're on the fence, they're not sure how this person is going to progress through the hospitalization, they'll put them into these medical observation units. And then you'll end up watching the patients and hoping that they'll pull through so that they don't actually have to be formally admitted. And then they can actually be either sent home with their families or to maybe a rehab or something like that. So that's actually happening.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What else is new that's crazy that you're seeing?
Yeah. So in regards to subject matter, Erica brought up not too long ago, maybe last week even, was problems with ischemia in the bowel and things like that. So ischemia and necrotic bowel.
That's a lack of blood circulation, ischemia, and necrotic means the blood never started up again and the tissues die. They're black.
Correct.
They're dead. Okay.
That's correct.
Yep. So what do we have?
So we've got a few cases where that happened over the last 2 weeks. So the patient presented basically with a huge abdominal pain and had a bit of quite a history as well, but he is admitted on the 19th of November, and his vaccination had been given to him on the 1st of November. So 19 days later, this person presented to our emergency room. Of course, they did the COVID test.
19 days.
It all took the 19 days. Yeah. And so he had, unfortunately, multiple abdominal surgeries in the past. So he had a hernia repair done a couple of times. He had a gastric bypass done at one point as well. And then he ended up with a aroesophageal diaphragmatic hernia and vagal nerve damage, which ended up causing him gastroparesis, which is really a miserable thing because you're always constantly in pain from it. And you never feel good once you've been given that diagnosis. You see that diagnosis a lot with people who abuse, substance abuse patients. They take a lot of illegal drugs. They end up are even prescribed drugs, and they are over abusing them, and they'll end up with gastroparesis. And once you've gotten it, there's no reversing that.
So how do they treat it?
So they usually treat it with medication. It's about the only the ironic thing. It's medication again. So the roller coaster that started with the drug use for pain, you end up continuing to treat it again with drugs. Pain management is the only
oh,
thing.
Oh, wow.
So that's what the medical community do to treat it.
Right.
I'm sure if people were resourceful and were willing to do some lifestyle changes and look to something else, they might actually be able to at least find a little bit more comfort and a better management program. But they don't do that. They go right to the drugs. It's always prescriptions, drugs. So and you live with that. And so these people are very thin most of the time. They can't tolerate a lot of food. They're miserable. They're just miserable all the time because they're always in pain. And so this person came in, and he ended up having a CAT scan done, and it showed he had ischemia, small bowel ischemia. And that was on the night of the 19th that he was admitted. Mm-hmm. And 3 days later, he was having necrotic bowel. Like it went so fast. He went downhill so fast. We were intubating him. He was on vasopressors, meaning when I say vasopressors, we're hanging medications to keep his blood pressure up because he can no longer keep his blood. He's gone septic. We're rushing him to the OR, and he's got lines. Like tubes hanging out everywhere at this point. Okay, he comes back from the surgery. Yeah, it's incredible. It's just how quickly it happened.
3 days.
And
from ischemia to necrosis.
To narcotic bowel. Yeah, septic.
Now that's, for those of you who don't know, that's dead tissue. That's black dead tissue. Okay? That's what it is. So what happened was, to cause the ischemia, I would guess it's the spike protein at work, microclotting the whole area, and it gets worse, and then it goes necrotic. Something's shutting the blood down.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So he's now compromised that way. He's intubated because he can't breathe on his own. He's gone septic, so he's on getting massive amounts of all kinds
he's
of antibiotics.
He's already dead.
Right now he's still alive, but yeah, it's
No,
he's.
Really I understand he's alive, but this is a dead man, dead person. I'm sorry. Okay. All right, I have a question. You've seen so many patients suffering, and Eric and I have read about so many patients, so many people. We just read some tonight. Many. They're miserable. They're sick all the time. They can't go out. They can't go out and have fun. They're stuck at home, and they're miserable. They're not bad enough to go to the hospital, or the hospital or the doctors just send them home. Now, my question is, if there was a simple push button, a button that somebody could push and instantly be put to sleep, they're dead. I mean, instantly. This is not a chemical thing where you get groggy and you're gone. Just you push a button and you're gone. How many people are you seeing that would push that button who are just sick of being sick? That's the overall question. You're seeing people who are grievously sick. If they had a quick way out, Are we seeing people who are just so beaten up that they'd push that
would
button?
Would they do it? I don't know, Jeff. I had a friend of mine one time tell me, the will to live is stronger than the will to die.
Well, I'm with you on that. I'm just telling you.
I just don't know. I mean, I think in the situations where they're coming back for the same procedure, now it's in just a different limb. You know, they're pulling clots out of their arteries, and if it's in their heart, it's in their sometimes it's in their legs. I mean, in their arms.
And they're growing everywhere else at the same time.
They're growing everywhere else. Yeah. And then this particular case, this guy. Yeah.
I was just going to say that the type of patients Nurse Ann is seeing might be the types that, you know, they were fine. They until this event. You know, these aren't the people that are plagued with vision issues or this constant tinnitus or stabbing heart pains 24/7. I mean, these people are probably getting around okay, maybe having dizzy spells every now and then, but they think they're relatively healthy.
Yeah,
am I wrong?
I think I would somewhat agree with that too, Erica, because this guy, you know, he had the gastric bypass done a few years before. And now I didn't write the years before, but it wasn't until he got the vax that he started running into the problem. So we're talking about 11/1 to 11/19. He was walking around fine. He was doing just, you know, doing his thing.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
He was living the best life he could live at the time. So he didn't present with like the cardiac events and the respiratory events. He didn't get those problems till after he ended up getting the ischemic bowel, followed by a necrotic bowel, followed by septic, going into septic shock, followed by a major spillage in his gut when they opened him up.
Right. So the point is that there can be serious disease just simmering beneath the surface, and you know, unbeknownst to the person. Yeah, and until something like this happens.
That's true. That is true. Yeah.
Let me add on to what Eric is saying. When we are out and about doing life as we still can, we're seeing people who may well be sick, who don't feel good. We know that. There are a lot of them out there. But they may be generating, they may be a day or two away from some massive collapse of their entire physiological infrastructure. That's what we're looking at.
Well, that's why they're calling it, sudden adult death syndrome, because it appears to just happen spontaneously, when in reality it's been building for some time.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it is if the people actually see, my understanding is usually when a drug is developed, they're usually trying to work on if there's an adverse reaction to, like, those drugs, that we can reverse them.
Yeah.
So,
right.
And if you know, the one thing I would have asked is, and I know this is a bioweapon, but if this had truly been a vaccination and had meant to be a do good, they would have had an antidote in case the vaccination, you know, caused all these major problems. So there's no antidote for this thing.
Well, we do think
that it wasn't designed to have an antidote.
Yes, agreed. However, the Communist Chinese Party boasted that they do have an antidote, but we are not about to get it, the Americans.
I can't
they wouldn't
see
have let
how they'd reverse it. The damage is too great.
No. And that was my opening. Yeah. That was my opening statement. Part two of that statement is, maybe the antidote that they have is for extremely early intervention, because if you wait any length of time, the number of roadways, pathways that this spike protein can work to tear life apart becomes completely out of control in who knows how quickly. Probably has to do with a person's innate immune system. We know that most everyone who gets the shot ends up with AIDS to one degree or another. But if you wait any length of time at all, you've got any number of locations in your body that are already falling apart and dying.
Yeah. I mean, there's the time. Actually, the solution is never to have got taken it. But the time frame for treatment, I don't even know, because it attacks people in such a strange way. It's not consistent. It attacks people neurologically. It attacks the cardiac system. It attacks the respiratory system. It attacks people who've had a transplant and had one, like I told you about that case, that lady who had a perfectly good transplant that was that she got through past the organ rejection and all of that, and 5 years successful, and then takes the vaccine. Here you go. Now her transplant is no longer effective. It failed, and she can no longer. She's got cancer, and she's no longer able to get a new organ to transplant and make her feel better again, because now she's been given the diagnosis of cancer.
Well, maybe she shouldn't be getting a new organ, because the new organs are full of spike protein. Come on.
Well, this is the other problem. It's the blood.
No one's talking about that.
It's everything. That's what I'm saying. The gamut of what this thing has done to the health of the overall world population, it exceeds what people can even imagine. And trying to talk to people and trying to educate them is the most difficult part in many ways, because they don't want to believe it, and they also don't want to accept it. It's like being given the diagnosis of cancer. Now you have to have this, well, you go through all the stages of anger, denial, acceptance. Well, they're not there. These people are not there with this thing. This has and I think it has a lot to do with the push for the TV pushes the vax. Doctor's office pushes the vax. If you go in to get a tooth pulled out, the dentist is pushing for the vax. You can't get away from this. So, and all right. these people are gullible, and they think, okay, you know, if my provider is telling me I need to get the vaccination, I must get the vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they lie to me?
Yeah, it's relentless.
Why would they lie to me?
The few people who are well educated, went out to seek and find out the real truth of the thing, they're well informed. They are well informed, but we're a very minor group of people.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Are you seeing any? Now we've made it quite clear that there are probably dozens of methods by which this bioweapon injection can disassemble life to the extent that the person dies. Are you seeing any trends, any differences? Just more of the same, like more cancers, more prion disease, CJD? Are you getting much on the psych unit? Are you staying up on that?
Where it comes to neurological, it usually they're getting diagnosed with strokes, subdural hematomas. So a subdural hematoma is just a blood clot in that subdural area.
Yeah.
They'll talk seizures big time. That's another one. Seizures is another one. So that's trying to
be quiet. We're hearing a lot of seizures on emergency rescue calls.
Yeah.
A lot of seizures. Yeah. Right, Erica?
Yep. Yeah.
Seizures and the falls. It seems to be an odd number. And then at least once a week, there's some kind of a choking incident at a restaurant, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I've seen some reports in the practitioners group of more patients presenting with achalasia, which is some paralysis of the swallowing muscles.
Yes. And it's funny you should say that. We saw that too, actually. We're having difficulty with people who used to be able to have normal food and be able to swallow food, they no longer can, they're no longer can swallow food. So we're putting in what we call nasogastric tubes in, which would go in the nose and down the esophagus and into the stomach. Or okay. Otherwise, if they fail, and then you would try and see if that muscle will come back, and if it fails, they'll take them down for a few swallow studies. And if they fail, I believe now if it's twice, they'll do the studies twice. If they fail a second time, usually they're taking them to the OR for a PEG tube. So you're getting a PEG tube. So you no longer get to enjoy real food anymore.
Oh my gosh!
How?
That's the sad part for me because I love food, but and really good food. And I don't think I'd ever go along with that. I saw a little old lady last night, and she goes, I am willing to aspirate rather than to give up eating food. I said, kudos to her. Now, she may very well aspirate, and she was advised of that. So when she chose that path, I'm going to tell you what happened. When she chose that path of not going along with the PEG tube and risking aspirating, he is now do not resuscitate, do not intubate patient. And on her chart, it says patient was well informed of potential high risk aspiration, is aware of the risk.
Who made that decision?
The patient herself made the decision to not have the tube, and then the doctors had to go in and say, well, if you choose to do that, you run the risk of, you've been a full cold.
That was my,
so
that's
now,
the answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the
All
answer, right. yeah. For the doctors, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many people a day are going out with toe tags?
We have a couple of, we have codes every night. We'll have a couple. You will hear them in the ICU.
Mm-hmm.
You'll now hear them in the procedural when they're going for cardiovascular procedures. So you hear a code called overhead. You will hear them in the OR. The OR always ran at risk anyway, but it's a little bit higher now. The ICUs are still get quite a few codes, with an average of at least two a night. And the worst ones are always still the kids. The cold calls for the kids are always the worst.
Yeah. I'm sure.
And as an ICU nurse, they pick you to respond to the calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do a lot, but I could never tolerate seeing children being so sick and babies coding.
Yeah.
And I can't do it. I've always professed to that. I said, I can't do it. So other nurses will respond to those calls, but we'll respond to other cold calls.
And those children are being murdered. You know it. I know it. We all know it. They're being murdered. These shots are death. You don't do that to a child.
Yeah, I'm tortured every time I hear the calls. It kills me. More than life itself, it kills me because I think about they didn't have a fighting chance. They weren't given a fighting chance.
No,
and for me that's the heartbreaking part for me.
We have to look at this for what it is. These injections were never designed, never constructed, never tested to do anything other than what they're doing. They're killing people. That's what they're for. They're not vaccinations. The Department of Defense and DARPA don't care about vaccinating the public. This is a whole different agenda.
I don't see any other way to look at it.
How could we?
At this stage?
No. Yeah, you're right. There's no other way to look at it.
They know what's going on, and they're turning a blind eye to it and lying about it.
And Nurse Anne... People have accepted this. Oh, it's just the way it is now. It's horrible. We've lost a lot of friends. Everyone's lost people by now.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, go ahead.
I would say that it's interesting. It's really kind of interesting. The people who are out there that got vaccinated and are living a questionable lifestyle, like using IV drugs and sniffing cocaine, things like that, they're coming in and they're kind of doing A-okay. They're coming in because they've got infections, because they've probably stuck a bad needle in themselves. Mm. But they actually seem to be able to, they're not the sickest of the sickest group anymore.
Mm.
And that is so odd to me, but, you know, and they're all vaccinated. They don't have the boosters all the time, but, you know. But yeah, they're the ones, they actually are making out better than the ones who were trying to live a really healthy life, clean lifestyle.
Yes.
Ted Bauer talks about it all the time. Yeah. It's so interesting.
What are we saying here?
I mean, yeah. I'm just saying, maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it's interesting that people who sniff heroin and cocaine aren't nearly as sick as the people who try to live a healthy lifestyle. And I don't know what to make of that.
Can we assume that the people, more affluent people, probably are on other types of pharmaceuticals that are contributing to their complications? Maybe they're over-treated?
Yes. Yes, I'd go along with that. I would go along with that. I would definitely. On a funny note, I thought I'd tell you one before I have to go. But on a funny note, I did have one interesting case where the guy got shot up 3 times in the leg, his calf, and then in his spine. And they never hit one of his arteries. Not one of his arteries was hit. He survived. He was in our unit. He survived.
Gunshots.
Yeah. And I was there and I was talking to him and I go, you see, the thing about it is you need to teach your boys how to shoot. So he was a gang member. And I said, I think you should have your boys join the army and teach them how to shoot. And he goes, hey, that's not a bad idea. So you get your mixed bag of people, you know.
I'd say.
And but yeah, I just, you know, there's just, I don't know what to say anymore. I mean, this has taken the world over, and some things are really trying and tragic and sickness, and then there's other days where I just hope that I can get through the shift.
Yeah.
Wow. No question. It's happening all over. It's not just here. It's happening everywhere.
How big of a hospital? How many beds is your hospital?
So it's over 700 beds now.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah, and they're creating units all the time. So, like, they created this medical observation unit, where there's an overflow of patients trying to take mm-hmm. the overflow from the emergency department.
Mm-hmm. And they're warehousing the dying in many cases. All they're doing.
If they're lucky, they get to go home. If they're not so lucky, they're in the hospital probably for the treatment regime that they have to go through, or if they're going to end up going to a nursing home or something, like a rehab. But I had one last night too, when he was, I said, this person is very, very sick. He shouldn't be on this unit. His limbs are frozen, and the pulses are really hard to get. And I said that the heart rate was fluctuating up and down, and it was working harder than usual, and the blood pressure was very labile. And I said, this person is going into shock, and this shouldn't be on this unit. So that was this morning. I was giving a report off to this patient, to the nurse, and she's a young nurse, and she was like, I don't know how to handle this, because this is not what I deal with. And I go, I know. But unfortunately, I was been trying to get doctors on the phone all night to get this patient moved to an ICU.
Wow. Anne, thank you so much for being here. And
you're welcome.
I hope you had a little bit of happiness or calm and peace on your Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you, Anne. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah, thank you, Anne.
And
take care of yourself.
Again.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, rest up. Right. Rest up.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Night. There aren't many like that out there anymore. And for those of you listening who are like that, bless you all. And you know what's going on inside these hospitals. 700 beds.
That's a good sized hospital.
Yeah. Wow. All right, partner.
And,
thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anything else?
Nice marathon.
Jeez. All right. I'll talk to you soon. And that was a lot of information. I hope those of you who managed to get through all 3 hours got something out of it. And that's the whole idea. And it'll be up in archives shortly. All right. Thank you, dear.
Okay, Jeff.
See you.
Good night, everyone. Have a good weekend.
And all of you out there, hang in there. And if you've taken any shots, it's our recommendation, no more. Take your supplements, you know which ones they are, and try to understand that you are in danger when you're around the vaxxed. And the vaxxed, you are in danger when you're around the unvaxxed, because they're carrying, because they have a more immune competence than you do, they're carrying more normal bacteria, viruses, and so forth that you can get because your immune system is down. So on that basis, and that basis alone, argues for separation of opposite vax status. Have a good weekend. Take care. We will be back soon.